WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. After protests over ICE raids and detentions in Los Angeles County turned violent over the weekend, CBS's Elise Preston says today, outside a federal building in L.A.,
we watched people throw water bottles and other objects at those agents' vehicles. We also watched them kick in agents' vehicles, and that was about an hour before this area was deemed an unlawful assembly. Now, they are, of course, trying to prevent what happened over the last couple of days.
2,000 National Guard members have been sent to L.A. under President Trump's order, and 2,000 more are being deployed. California is suing the Trump administration, saying it has overstepped. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass adding,
I don't think that our city should be used for an experiment to see what happens in the nation's second largest city. Well, maybe we can do this to other cities.
CBS's Charlie Daggett at the Pentagon says 7,000 Marines are to be deployed to L.A.
A statement we received from U.S. Northern Command reads, in part, Marines will seamlessly integrate with the Title 10 forces who are protecting federal personnel and federal property. That's a reference to roughly 1,000 National Guard troops who've already been deployed to three parts of Los Angeles.
Our Jim Krasula reports on a tragedy off the West Coast.
The U.S. Coast Guard now says all six people on board a twin-engine plane that went down in the Pacific Ocean near San Diego died. A large debris field was found about 5 miles off Point Loma. The plane had taken off from San Diego International Airport and was headed to Phoenix.
The plane was owned by a healthcare system based in suburban Phoenix. A study published in the journal JAMA Pediatrics finds that states that have loosened their firearm laws since after Supreme Court's McDonald versus Chicago 2010 decision on firearms regulations have seen more pediatric firearm deaths. Lead study author Dr. Jeremy Faust says thousands of children should be alive.
In the permissive and most permissive states, there were 7,400 more pediatric firearm deaths than would have been expected.
Firearms are the leading cause of deaths for people aged 1 to 19 in the U.S. Apple is focusing on making its devices feel more personal to use as it struggled to keep up in the artificial intelligence race. CBS News technology contributor Ian Scherer.
One of the biggest changes to Apple's software is the way it looks. The company's built new technologies that highlight photos that are in the background of your message chats or your home screen. And the company is hoping that by making all of this feel a lot more personalized, it'll help people feel more comfortable using their devices.
This is CBS News.
Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, a lot of things. Bundle today at progressive.com.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers open a series against the Atlanta Braves in Milwaukee. The crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddy Peralta allowed just one hit, no runs, through six innings, 90 pitches, and thought about going back out in the seventh.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but same time, we took the decision that it was good enough for the day and just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the seventh, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddie first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us. But you don't do that this time of the year.
NFL. The Packers have decided to release defensive back Jaire Alexander. The team asking Alexander to take a pay cut, in part because he's missed half the games the last two seasons. The defensive back was scheduled to make $17 million this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thin just a bit in the overnight. Light west and northwest winds and morning lows in the lower 50s. On Tuesday, sunshine but hazy, highs in the upper 70s. By Wednesday, though, looking for a few showers in the area. It's 60 at our studios.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we take a look at the fast-paced headlines across the nation and state. And a lighter note, Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com will be here. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Alba content.
Jane said. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by State Representative Christian Phelps is here. Good morning, Representative. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Good to see all of you.
Good to see you as well. We wanted to talk about the equality agenda. Democrats in the state legislature, this from the Wisconsin Examiner, call for LGBTQ plus equality measures. So what are we talking about? What does this cover?
Yeah, it's basically an effort to take the month of June this year to not only, as we've done before, Governor Evers raised the pride flag in front of the Capitol, introduce a resolution proclaiming June as Pride Month in Wisconsin, but also to look at what that really means from a policy perspective. Our LGBTQ plus caucus in the legislature is more than twice as big as it was last session. I'm one of the new members. There are 12 of us now who are serving in the legislature as out LGBTQ plus people who stand for a pro LGBTQ freedom agenda. And so we believe our role is to outline the parts of Wisconsin law that need to be modified.
Nope, he just froze. We'll see if he comes back.
Technology is not our friend today.
It is not working in our favor today. There you are. Now you're back.
Welcome back.
Did you lose me?
Well, yeah, you froze for just a second there.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Well, So the equality agenda in this case also means things like repealing the still on the books constitutional ban on same-sex marriage in Wisconsin, which of course isn't in practice because the U.S. Supreme Court declared that marriage equality was, bans on same-sex marriage were unconstitutional in 2015, but we haven't removed that from our state constitution yet. And then more alarming things like the fact that we haven't banned so-called conversion therapy, which is a torture practice that basically sends people to so-called therapy measures in an effort to talk them out of their own identity, their sexual orientation or gender expression or gender identity. And the gay and trans panic laws that are still on the book, which basically say that if somebody is alarmed or scared that somebody is transgender or LGBTQ in any way, they could lash out violently at that person. It would be framed as self-defense. And so there are a lot of ways. And, you know, earlier this year, we also introduced just updates to our non-discrimination laws to include gender identity and gender expression and things like non-discrimination on housing and employment. So there are a lot of very tangible ways that our laws are not up to date with how I think the average person in Wisconsin feels, which is that they know and love at least one LGBTQ person and they want the best for them. And this month, particularly this year, with the administration that we have in Washington trying to write some members of our community out of existence, it's very important that we not just celebrate our community, but recognize the ways that we need to modernize our policies to make it a more welcoming state.
And that's, you know, something we were talking about earlier before about attracting people to the state of Wisconsin. And I know that I've had conversations with some people who live in the surrounding states, and they say things about what, you know, the laws on the books regarding the community as well. And women who just also don't feel seen as people to have autonomy over their body. I mean, from a policy and campaigning standpoint, this is good for Wisconsin. And everything you've spoken about so far, Representative, has been very, seems, you know, we shouldn't have a law in the book that allow people to be violent towards people they perceive to be gay or lesbian or so. These seem like very measured points. What is the kickback? Is there any like blowback you're getting?
Who's
from
defending
people?
This?
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Who's defending this?
Who doesn't think this is good for Wisconsin? And I'm not asking you to name names. I can guess, but I think that just that you know, the tut tut waving the hand. Well, the morality of it all. We've heard it 1,000 times when it's not the case.
Yeah, good question. You know, as somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, I will say that one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. they're kind of directed not to. There is appetite in Wisconsin communities for bipartisanship, but I don't feel that same appetite inside the Capitol, because the question is more about who's going to get credit for things than about what's the right thing to do. So I have not personally had conversations with my Republican colleagues about how they feel about these bills, but the pattern that I've seen play out is that there are always excuses to keep us from actually achieving, you know, justice in Wisconsin. And it's because their economic agenda is incredibly unpopular. And so they can only succeed politically if they are scapegoating and marginalizing groups of people, so that their constituents are focused on that instead of on the fact that they don't want to expand Badger Care, don't want to invest in public schools and other things that I know from living in West Central Wisconsin with many rural constituents are not popular on their merits. And so I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel that LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom and don't deserve to have these laws modernized. But that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. Ultimately, they've already spent a number of taxpayer days in session this spring and winter attacking trans people. Mm. And it's because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
That's such a good point. Yeah. It really is. Again, let's pick the biggest distraction we can find and make people look over there so that you don't look over here for things that are really going to have much more direct impacts on your lives. When we're talking about economic things, when we're talking about healthcare, when we're talking about education, those are the things that really directly impact people.
Yes. And that's something that you mentioned just before about, you know, this is your first time. This is first time serving in the assembly. You had to knock on doors. You had to talk to the people. I mean, not had to. But your goal is to talk to people, and you talk to rural. You talk to city. You talk to, you know, more affluent, less affluent, and there's all these shared values here in Wisconsin. And whether we're talking about access to abortion care, we're talking about education, we're talking about childcare, we're talking marijuana legalization, and the LGBTQIA community as well. It seems like these are things that Wisconsinites tend to agree with. But yet we have as Robin Voss puts it, a representative democracy in Madison that doesn't seem to agree with that. And I said before, these are measured points you're putting out there to grant freedom for all. And yet it's about scaremongering to say like, well, but then to give their buddies tax cuts.
Yeah, No, exactly. I mean, I spoke with like 10,000 people at their doors last year. This is a competitive part of the state, and I had a competitive primary election and then a competitive general election. There were a lot of conversations to have. I come from the public education world. When I go into the rural parts of my district and knock on doors and say, I want to fight to keep your public school alive, mm-hmm. and I think you shouldn't have to go to referendum and raise your property taxes while Republicans in Madison have sat on a $4 billion surplus that they could have used to fund that public school, I don't really find a lot of people that disagree with that. But that's a conversation that the majority party has been trying to throw us off of having for over 15 years, because privatizing education in Wisconsin isn't something that's very easy to defend. And when I ask people what their main concerns are, just recently, as a state rep, you know, I'm hearing that people are really, really worried about healthcare and about Medicaid cuts. That was the number one concern I heard last weekend when I talked to people. Almost nobody says that their number one concern is making sure that gay marriage stays illegal in Wisconsin.
I'm sorry to laugh at that. I'm imagining someone sitting at a picnic table actually saying that. Like, you know, I don't really care about the economy. It's those men marrying men. Yeah, my goodness.
If you're just joining us, Representative Christian Phelps is our guest. He is a Democrat from the Eau Claire area. I'm curious, Representative, what you heard when you went door to door, when you were running. Did you get a lot of pushback about the fact that you're gay? Did that even come up?
Almost never. I think this is very... I'll keep using the analogy to my education work because that's kind of my area of expertise. And we've talked about how Republicans have really used populations of people as scapegoats and trying to thrown people off of the message that we really should be focused on. I've always been captivated by the fact that when you ask people how they feel about education as a whole versus their own local public school, their opinion changes quite a bit.
Yep.
And I think that's the case with LGBTQ people as well. Republicans have invested a lot of time and energy into villainizing education, villainizing educators. They've also spent a lot of time and energy villainizing LGBTQ people, and particularly transgender people. And so some of that works. Eventually, when you invest a lot of resources into trying to get people to feel the way you want them to feel, sometimes you're going to make some headway on that.
Yep.
But when you ask people, do you like the teachers at your kid's school? Mm-hmm. And do you like, your own niece who is transgender? Their opinion skyrockets. And so the blessing of being an assembly representative, where we each have about 60,000 constituents, and we really actually can build a meaningful relationship with a pretty big percentage of our constituents, is that we can kind of localize those messages and say, I'm fighting for economic justice. I think we shouldn't have a school lunch debt and children in poverty in our community. And I have an economic plan for you. And if you're worried about something like public education or LGBTQ issues, let's talk about what that means in our actual community. Do you care about your neighbors? Because generally people do.
Yep. And I find it fascinating. And we've talked to other folks who have said the same thing as you, Representative, as far as when you ask people about their own public school, we like our public schools. It's that one that's bad. It's that other school district that is bad, but not mine.
It's that other school district in the southeastern Wisconsin area that's right by the lake, that's so full of people that I don't even know. That's a terrible one.
We're going to continue our conversation with Representative Christian Phelps on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
She starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, a segment we call Audio Sorbet, a little chance for us all to take a breath and get away from the news and focus on something else for a little bit.
Whoa.
So we're going to be talking about the dumbest way you hurt yourself.
And I got a dumb one.
Oh, I think we all have one. What is the dumbest way you hurt yourself? That will be our audio sorbet after the 10:30 news. So stick around for that, and then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is the Cornclave edition. There's a visual element I highly encourage you to stick around for. That's all coming up. Don't shake your head.
I'm whatever. You and your puns.
We're joined by Representative Christian Phelps is here representing Eau Claire, and we're talking about equity in Wisconsin and our LGBTQ plus population.
We were also, though, talking about education as well, and there has been a... I think it was earlier this year, Assembly Speaker Voss went on Upfront and made a comment that they gave the greatest funding to education in a generation. He said it like three times in that interview. And I'm pretty sure, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you are an expert in this field. You talk about education a lot. It may have been a great injection, but it was also one of the first ones they actually had done. They were suffocating the education system here in Wisconsin. So I feel like, yeah, when you give $5 away, yeah, that you can say that's the greatest amount we've given away. But it's not like he quantified it. He just said the greatest in a generation. Can you talk more on that statement and what the reality was for the educational system here in Wisconsin?
Well, I'll give him a little bit of credit. There was something historic about the last budget. It was the largest ever and first standalone giveaway of public dollars to private voucher schools in Wisconsin history. That was certainly historic.
Yeah.
They are now receiving, in many cases, more dollars per student than many, many public school districts are in Wisconsin, even though they do not have to follow the same non-discrimination laws. They don't have to employ licensed teachers. They are not banned from instituting corporal punishment, and they don't even have to keep the students that they don't want. So there was something very historic about the deal that Robin Voss was able to strike with the governor to invest a historic amount of our tax dollars to unaccountable private schools.
Yep.
That was very historic. But to your point, yeah, I mean, if you rob somebody of everything they've got and then give them 10 bucks back like 15 years later, you can say, why aren't you grateful for these 10 bucks? But it's not that hard to see why they wouldn't be. The reality is that people can tell because hundreds of districts have had to go to referendums just in the past year.
Yes.
And those are operating referendums, which means like this referendum is to keep our lights on, our doors open, and our teachers employed. Nothing new, just to keep everything running. And then most of them pass, but people are going to run out of the ability to pass those eventually. We are paying our taxes twice. First, for the Republicans in Madison to sit on them and give them away to private schools, and then again through property taxes, through referendums, just to keep the lights on in our local public schools. That's not a fair or sustainable way to fund education. And this is a perfect example of something that they would rather not talk about while they are peddling anti-trans propaganda instead.
Yeah, it's a great distractor. It's a great look over here, be scared of this. Let's not look at what we're actually doing. And I think you said something so important, and that is my biggest gripe with charter schools and private schools, is there is no oversight body. They don't have to report to anybody. And as someone who comes from the education space, representative, how do they justify that? I'm genuinely curious on how they justify not having to be accountable for their curricula or anything like that, and yet they are getting public dollars.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having issues with your public school. In fact, I think the beauty of a public system with an accountable, locally elected school board with open meetings laws and taxpayer participation is that we are supposed to have critiques and issues with our public schools and then work on them together and get through them. But I think that if your goal is to privatize and profit off the system instead of to provide for every child in Wisconsin as our constitution requires and our moral compass requires, you see critiques and issues of public schools as an opportunity to say, instead of working on the public system together, we should go over here, hide the money, have a profit-based private system, and then invest a bunch of resources into kind of building a narrative around that. They call it school choice. I say, yeah, the schools do have a choice. They get to choose whether they want your kid or not.
Yeah.
And if they do, they can just kick them out. That's something a public system can't do. They get to choose if they want to listen to you or not. They don't have to hold an open meeting and tell taxpayers what they're doing. So it's a little bit of a misnomer when they call it that. I just call it privatization. But it's kind of two schools of thought. When you look at the state budget and you see how many state resources have to go towards education, I see that as our state having a responsibility to provide, as the state constitution requires, a fantastic public education to every young person in Wisconsin, no exceptions. But some people see that pie as a bunch of money that they should get their hands on. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the fundamental difference between me and somebody like Robin Voss or billionaires.
What is that website that you've used?
Actually, from a group that Christian has worked with for a lot, the Wisconsin Education Network. There is a formula there that I will put in the show notes. You can see how much money is going from your taxes to private school through the voucher system. And it's a lot if you're living in certain areas.
It's a lot more than you think. Representative
$700 million a year statewide.
Representative Christian Phelps has been our guest. Thank you so very much for joining us. We'd love to have you back.
Thanks so much for inviting me. Good to see you all.
You as well. Well. News is coming up next, and then the dumbest way you've hurt yourself. That's Audio Sorbet. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has ordered 2,000 more California National Guardsmen to support the 2,100 already helping immigration agents, police, and sheriff's deputies as they push back on protesters in Los Angeles. That's on top of the 700 Marines deployed. Trump says there could be additional deployments.
We would bring more in if we needed it because we have to make sure there's going to be law and order. A disaster happening.
CBS's Elise Preston is at the site of a weekend clash.
When you're driving around this federal building, you see the remnants of that chaos. You see graffiti tagged all over the walls, all over the sidewalks, all over the fences.
Apple is working to make its devices more personal, says CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
One way Apple's hoping to flex its muscles is with its new gaming app, which puts a lot more attention on the various games that are available through its App Store and its arcade subscription service.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Brewers baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers open a series against the Atlanta Braves in Milwaukee. The crew losing a close one yesterday, 1-0 to the San Diego Padres. Freddie Peralta allowed just one hit, no runs, through six innings, 90 pitches, and thought about going back out in the seventh.
For 1 second, I was thinking about it to come back, but same time, we took the decision that it was good enough for the day and just to bring somebody else.
So Rob Zastrzynski took over in the seventh, and Manny Machado knocked one out of the park on him. That was the ball game. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, it was a decision that, you know, we had to talk to Freddie first, see how he felt. He was out of gas. Could we have pushed him into it? I'm sure he would have done it for us. But you don't do that this time of the year.
NFL. The Packers have decided to release defensive back Jaire Alexander. The team asking Alexander to take a pay cut, in part because he's missed half the games the last two seasons. The defensive back was scheduled to make $17 million this season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 2025 Tonys are in the books, and the big winner from Sunday night's event was Maybe Happy Ending. The production, a love story about two abandoned robots, was named Best Musical and brought in six other awards as well. According to Variety, the play struggled to find an audience until the reviews came in. Similar to the moving picture box office, the theater industry seems to be back on track following the pandemic with $1.89 billion in ticket sales, which is a record. Brendan Jacobs Jenkins became only the third playwright to win Tonys in consecutive years with this year's Purpose, a hilarious look at a civil rights leader's dysfunctional family, which won Best Play. Other highlights from the evening include Succession's Sarah Snook, who was named Best Leading Actress in a play for The Picture of Dorian Gray. And in sad Tony news that really isn't that sad, George Clooney was a bridesmaid for Best Performance by a leading actor in Good Night and Good Luck. Still nice to be nominated, or so I'm told. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thin just a bit in the overnight. Light west and northwest winds at morning lows in the lower 50s. On Tuesday, sunshine but hazy, highs in the upper 70s. By Wednesday, though, looking for a few showers in the area. It's 60 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin, it is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided, we've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Civic Media's Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area on what Democrats are talking about ahead of next weekend's big state convention.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks again to Representative Christian Phelps, who joined us in the first half hour of the hour. Great comments on the live stream about Representative Phelps, and hopefully we will be able to have him back. He was great.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many things we can talk to him about as well.
Absolutely. Right now, though, it is a portion of the program that we call Audio Sorbet.
The harps.
Where we like to lighten things up, take a break, get walk away from the news just a little bit, and cleansing for your ear, as it were. And we were talking before we went on the air about silly, dumb ways you have hurt yourself. And I think we've all done one or two or five dumbest ways you have hurt yourself. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Who wants to start?
I'm going to start with a woman named Gail who emailed us in at Jane's. You can email this, Jane says, at civicmedia.us, but use a different email. Point is, stupidest way I hurt myself. Yeah. Drinking and dancing to Love Shack at a wedding, I broke my wrist.
Ooh.
Then surgery with metal plate inserted.
Ooh.
Fallout on hand, stretched hand. Is it a real medical term? Oh, I see what you say. Yeah, foolish fallout on the hand. Lesson, no more drinking and dancing. One or the other, not both. Not when both. You're over 60 postmenopausal. Gail from New Berlin. Look, I don't like the idea that you hurt yourself. I want everyone to be safe. But if you're going to hurt yourself,
that's one way to do it.
Drinking and dancing to the B-52s, that's a wonderful story.
It's worse ways.
Exactly.
855-752-4842. Dumbest way you have hurt yourself. I have to try and narrow it down to one. Yeah. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks for joining us. How did you hurt yourself?
Well, I don't think I can beat that other lady.
Give it a shot.
That was wonderful. Well, when we were kids, we used to play a lot in the woods behind our army barracks, and there was a tree, and we all decided that we were going to play Tarzan out of that tree. And apparently, I wasn't very good at it, and fell out and cut my leg clear down to the bone, and they had to run home and get my mom, and she wasn't very happy about it.
Isn't that interesting? That's so funny, Ollie, because that is parenting from when we got parented.
Yeah.
There was no, oh, Ollie, are you okay? It's like, no, you idiot. You fell out of the tree. Look what you did.
That's right.
Right? Where is your sympathy? Where's the, oh, my baby, you hurt yourself? It's like, no, you were stupid.
I was talking to your Aunt Carol, and now I got to come take care of you. My goodness.
Ow.
Now all the, like, it's in my head that compartmentalized to not just the dumbest ways I've hurt myself, but the different ways. So like, oh, you know, lawn accident. Oh, bike accident. Oh, this. Like, there's so many different.
We've all done it.
Yeah,
we've all done it. Yeah. Thank you, Ollie. Appreciate it. Dumbest way you have hurt yourself at 855-752-4842. Nancy on WAUK texted in earlier. Nancy from Illinois, trying to get a piece of cement out from under the soil in my backyard. The cement won.
Alicia on the live stream says, dumbest way I hurt myself. Stepped out of a FedEx truck onto a curb and spraining my foot.
Just stepping out.
It's those things. You know, I got a cement story. I'll tell that in a moment. But it's the ones that where you're just trying to live.
Yeah.
I'm not
doing anything special.
I'm not jumping out of a plane. I'm not trying to run a 100-yard dash or even trying to get cement out of my backyard. Sometimes, like one time I was laying in bed, and as you lay in bed and you're like, oh, I got a stretch. I got a big stretch coming out. It's one of those stretches where it's full body, like the whole thing. And like, I just stretch so hard that something in my back just pulls. That's how I got sent home from work that day. I was in bed. I stretched so hard. I pulled something in my back. I walked into work. I could barely walk. They said, just go home.
You're useless.
I wasn't trying to do manual labor. I was just trying to wake up and I hurt myself. Welcome to your 40s.
Oh, just wait. It gets better. 855-752-4842. Our question today on Audio Sorbet is the dumbest way you have hurt yourself. Whistler from Richland Center is on the line. Good morning, Whistler. What you want to share with us?
Well, this is kind of strange, but it happened. Taking a nap one afternoon, and, well, I dream a lot, and I guess I got a little rambunctious and started reacting and threw myself off the couch, hit the coffee table, and cut my knee open.
Oh!
Whoa.
Ow.
So you're having a really active dream and you fall off the couch and hit the coffee table and rip out your knee.
Yep.
Ow.
And then when you went to the doctor, wasn't it embarrassing when you went to the doctor because you have to explain to him how you hurt yourself?
Well, it wasn't so bad that I had to go to the doctor. What was bad is that my granddaughter was sitting in the chair next to the coffee table I hit.
Oh, you must have scared her to half to death.
Just watching you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you very much, Whistler. That's we appreciate awesome, Whistler. The call. Cassandra on the live stream says, bending over to pick up a wheelchair pedal, strain my back. Yeah.
Just bending over.
Sometimes you're just trying to live, people, and your body's like, oh, no, I'm going to make this one hurt.
What is the dumbest way you have hurt yourself? 855-752-4842. Sarah in Green Bay listening on WGBW. I won $5,500 on a dive bar slot machine.
Dang.
My sister and I were kind of hopping up and down celebrating, and I heard a pop. My knee gave out. I tore my ACL, having to be off of work for 3 months. So there went my profit from the win.
Look at this. Liz from Saukville. Another blew out my ACL on my left leg while moshing at a party at my mom and dad's house. My God. Well, I mean, I can get that. Moshing it pretty
intense. That can happen.
But
that
yeah. So I'll tell my cement story real quick.
Sure.
I used to work my senior year for a summer. I worked for a guy who did tile work. And we go all over the region to do jobs. And one day we just had to do a quick cover up, quick patch job. And he said, all right, and I used to mix the concrete.
Okay.
And I usually mix it in a wheelbarrow, but this time it was a small thing. So he said, just take that bucket, mix it in. And so I had this bucket in my arm, and like you're holding, and I'm mixing it with a trowel
real
quick, you know, just mix. And all of a sudden it just came, and I threw concrete into my eye. That is the
laughing,
first step. I had to put everything down. It immediately started burning.
Oh, God.
And I don't even remember if I told my boss, but I had to like wipe all the concrete out of my eye and like really.
So before it hardens.
Well, Jane, don't get ahead of me here, because I thought I got everything out. I went to a concert with my cousin and I slept over at their house that night. When I woke up, I'm not kidding you, my eyelids were sealed shut.
Oh, God.
My left eyelid was sealed shut with tiny specks of concrete in there. And it was, my aunt had to like literally pull them apart, like had to like. Take a walk.
Pry them open.
It was one of the most terrifying things, but just I remember whipping that concrete in my eye going, yeah, of course this happened.
Naturally.
This is my fault. I know it's my fault.
Dumbest way you have hurt yourself at 855-752-4842. Lori from St. Croix Falls is on the line. Good morning, Lori. What did you want to share with us?
Good morning. My manager at the restaurant had to believe my concussion story, because I called and told her I got a concussion by hitting my back of my head on the underside of a doorknob.
And how did you do that?
Blow drying my hair, getting ready. I had my hair flipped over, and with great force, I flipped my hair back, and the bathroom door had blown shut. And I literally, as hard as I could, hit my head on the underside of a doorknob, causing a concussion.
Oh.
And I loved my job. I wanted to go to work. I made great money at the restaurant.
Yeah.
But definitely believe that for creativity.
Oh, that's a good one, Lori. That's a first. I don't think I've ever heard that one before.
Lori, when you got done blow drying your hair and you were just ready to do that flip, do you do that thing with all people like myself with long hair do when you do that flip? You're like, I'm in a commercial for shampoo. So you're like almost, you're like, ugh, but instead you're like, ow!
It was bad. Back at my days at the University of Minnesota, I had to go to health services.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh. I'm glad you're okay, Lori. That's hilarious. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Dumbest way you have hurt yourself, 855-752-4842. Andrew from Maine, listening on WAUK. My littlest sister is a preteen, was spinning in circles in the living room, bounced her hand up the back of the couch, and broke her arm or hand. It was many years ago. Mom was stepping down the steps of our motorhome, slipped and broke her foot. Myself, broke 3 bones in my foot when I fell out of a tree while playing frisbee while at college.
Andrew, can I give a piece of advice to your family? Just sit down more.
Cotton.
Oh.
Pack yourself in cotton.
My mother has fallen down more steps than I care to admit to. And they're not like, she's not falling down grand staircases. It's like my sister's house where there are 5 steps.
And you trip.
Yeah. It's just slip on that carpet and whoop-app, whoop-app, whoop-app. And yeah, it's
855-752-4842. Dumbest way you have hurt yourself. Something you'd like to share.
I want to share what John from Oshkosh just shared listening on WISS. I shot myself in the nose with a nail gun. Oh. First time building a deck. Luckily, it was only a ricochet. For a second, I thought the nail went up my nose. May I suggest you were using the nail gun incorrectly then? Because I don't generally put nail guns close to my face.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were lucky, John.
Oh, my gosh.
That could have gone.
That makes my sinuses hurt.
That could have gone badly.
Yeah.
Mine was, and I remembered from one of the comments that we took, I was at Summerfest.
Oh, boy.
There was drinking involved.
Yeah.
And I was table dancing to Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Okay.
Great, great show. It was a great show. I was having a wonderful time on top of the picnic table. Drinking at Summerfest, and I fell off the table and landed on the seat of the picnic table. And I was in so much pain. I went to the doctor the next day because I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Because every time you breathe in, it hurts. It was not my regular doctor. It was a really, really cute male doctor.
Well, at least you know you could party.
Yeah. And he asked me, and I'm older than him. And he's like, and how did you do this? I was table dancing at Summerfest, and I would off.
Jane Emmanuel Marie Matinere. I would have looked him dead in the eyes. He goes, I was dancing to big band orchestra right there, and I'll do it again if I had to.
That was really good.
That was from like last year too.
Yeah, yes, last year. It's like you should have seen my moves. You would have been impressed. He was not impressed.
No.
He's not impressed by that. Thank you, everyone, for taking part. We will always will take more if you want to join us at 855-752-4842. Silly ways you have hurt yourself. Calvin, anything you want to share with us? Anything you want to get off your chest before we go to break?
Well, when I was, my brother played baseball in middle school. He had one of those things that you threw a ball against it and would send it back to catch. And I got too close and hit myself in the face with a baseball one time.
All right, that's all we need. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is The Civic.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. Sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Week two of our statewide text to win Scotty Summer Contest after 11 o'clock. With Tom Hartman. Be listening for us.
Us, me and you.
Yes, listen for us to give you a keyword that you want to text in via the Civic Media app that will get you in the running either for $100 or a pair of great Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. And then you're in the running for the grand prize, a getaway to either Door County or Baraboo. And we give you gas to get there.
Why does the gas portion make me so happy?
It makes you very happy. Yeah. I know it does.
It's like if someone said, here's a car. It's also the taxes are paid for.
It's an extra kiss.
Yes.
It's just a little extra kiss.
Hey, you want a vacation also? Gas money.
There you go. So be listening. After 11 o'clock, you have four chances every day through Friday of this week in the 7, 11, 2 o'clock with Todd, 4 o'clock with Maggie. Mm-hmm. Listen for your chances coming up after the 11 o'clock news here on Civic Media, our statewide Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Coming up tomorrow, Todd Alba, our friend and colleague, will be joining us after 9:30 to break down all the news. Right now, though, Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, Jane says, at civicmedia.us. This is from the Associated Press. The headline, and there's no byline. Interesting.
No one wanted to admit.
No one wants to take credit for this one. The byline, the headline reads, a quirky vegetable sculpture contest features a squash Donald Trump and a papal Cornclave. Vegetable likenesses of Donald Trump and singer Dolly Parton, along with a papal cornclave, went on display over the weekend at the Lambeth County Show, held every year in London's Rockwell Park. The two-day show features sheep shearing, livestock competitions, food, music, and a vegetable sculpture contest, which has attracted national renown.
So London has their own state fair?
It's kind of bringing the state fair into London. This year, several sculptures reference the recent papal election or a movie, conclave, including one featuring cardinals made of corn titled Cornclave.
I think that
you got to love that.
I do.
How can you not love that?
And the picture is fantastic because it's historically accurate. I mean, like a little Sistine Chapel corn.
Oh, nice.
I don't know. I'm making that part up.
Other entries included a rap trio in potato form called Collie Parton. They were made out of cauliflower.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate you.
Collie Parton in a movie-inspired tableau titled Nine to Chive.
This is where you live. I mean, this is where you're just so happy.
I know. I love this. A vegetable Mo salad, which is a likeness of a Liverpool soccer star called Mohamed Salah. They also used Wallace and Gromit. Famous icons, out of butternut squash. Donald Trump also got the butternut squash treatment. Local authorities have turned to holding large concerts and festivals in local parks as a way to raise money.
That's great.
Not everybody's excited about this. One guy is like, not in my backyard. It sounds like fun.
Quit being that guy.
That right?
Guy.
That like, one poop?
Yeah. As Mrs. McCarthy said in class, in choir, when you weren't singing on key, like, you are the poop in our warm, frothy milk.
Would she say that?
She would say that. And it's a weird, but you never forgot it. And you did. And the visual is visceral. So you're like, I don't want to be that.
No one wants to be that.
Come on, man. It's probably one weekend.
Yeah, it's 2 days.
It's
2 days. County Fair regular Maddie Luxton says every year, this is what we get so excited about. It's the vegetable sculptures. It's so unique and so witty. And we love the political ones and the puns. We love the vegetable puns.
I mean, with the butternut squash, you didn't have to do anything with Donald Trump. It's perfectly the same color as his skin. It's
just
great.
It just works. Yep.
Perfect.
And as Tony says in the live stream, nine to chive. You got to love it. What's not to love? That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And again, don't forget the keyword for our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest is coming up. In just a little bit, be listening for Greg and I to give you that keyword to text in, playing for either $100 cash or a pair of Brewers Club level tickets. And then everyone who enters, whether you win or not, will be in the running for the grand prize, a getaway to either Door County or Baraboo.
And I was shaking my head because I'm always in disbelief. It's just how wonderful the club level seats are. They're comfy. They're cushy.
They're cushy.
It's a private entrance, basically.
Easy access to bathrooms for some people. That's an important thing. Just keep that in mind. But that's coming up after 11 o'clock. And again, Todd Albaugh will be joining us tomorrow morning. He will have his show. Join him today, 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6. And Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here. News coming up. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Another 2,000 California National Guard troops have been federalized and are being sent to the Los Angeles area. That's on top of the 2,100 National Guardsmen already deployed, along with 700 Marines. Here's L.A. Police Chief Jim McDonald.
We're activating a department-wide operational posture that enables us to reallocate officers rapidly, hold over shifts as needed, and prioritize major incidents.
CBS's Carter Evans says police and sheriff's deputies are engaging with the protesters.
I do hear some rounds here. These look like pepper balls, maybe? Pepper balls, like paintballs, okay, with an irritant in them. They usually shoot them down on the ground, so they kind of burst out with smoke, and it's really irritating, so they don't want to be around it when that's happening. Those are the rubber bullets. They just shot a protester there with rubber bullets.
The superintendent of the L.A. School District, Albert Carvalho,